The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We'll take your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday coming up in about 10 minutes, but let's keep things rolling with our first and 10 and number four.
Number four.
Last night, as hard as this is going to be to believe, was some level of a proof of concept for what they want to do on defense. First of all, I think the play style was much more there. I know the results ultimately are not. They give up quite a bit of yardage, quite a bit of points, the whole deal. But this is a team that's going to need to play coverage because they are understaffed. And I think they realize that in a way that they maybe didn't fully appreciate during camp. But now they're like, yeah, no, especially against, you know, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And we'll see what happens when they're not facing as elite of offenses. But when we face teams with real weapons, like, we're just going to have to bend but don't break, because if we give teams a chance to be aggressive against us, like, we're toast. We do not have the horses to play coverage or play, you know, single high safety, man-to-man on the outside and get aggressive inside. Also, it doesn't feel like it's necessarily worth it because their blitz package has not exactly been finely tuned this year, but that's a problem that we'll deal with tomorrow. The problem with playing coverage, though, is it leaves you exposed in the run game. And what you saw last night is what happens when the score all of a sudden changes the game flow, and that's not a problem anymore. Like, go ahead, run the ball, Cincinnati. You need to score. The clock is not your friend. And so to bend but don't break in a game where you're up, you know, more than one score is fine. And I think that's how they're going to have to play, which is going to require the offense to be really good. And I think you did see more pressure as the game went on. You did see more rush throws from Burrow, some hands in his faces. You start to see some good rushes. You start to see some offensive linemen get tired. And that play style that continued to, you know, just go hard every single snap, like, it started to add up a little bit. Obviously, they were able to get some big plays late. And, you know, it probably doesn't look like it on the stat sheet. But I'm telling you, watching the film, like, you start to see a little bit of a change. Now, they've got to execute better. And if they can just make half the potential tackles for losses, for instance, that they missed. Payne missed like two last night. Fowler missed two or three last night, where it's just like, guys, can you make a tackle when a dude's in your hands? Like, when you have a free runner in the backfield at a back, can you bring him down? And if they were to do that, like that game looks completely differently. But it also shows, again, if you can just keep stuff in front of you, they eventually do get Cincinnati in some second and longs, some third and longs, and are able to convert those into field goal attempts or into field goal attempts. Obviously, it'd be nice if they could do that earlier in drives and get some punts, but making a team earn it in the red zone is not exactly easy, even for a team that's as undermanned as Washington and as talented as Cincinnati. So, again, is this an ideal way to play defense? No. Is this a way to play dominant defense? No. Is this a way to play even league average defense, certainly by a yardage metric? No. Is it probably how this team's going to have its best chance to win playing defense? And did we see proof on some level that it can work last night, even if it's a lot more stressful when the other offense is on the field than we want it to be? Also, yes. So there's that. All right. Number five.
Number five.
Back to the offense. It's way more fun to talk about. And some compliments for Cliff Kingsbury. The inherent problem when you run from shotgun is that 90% of the time the other team knows where the run is going, because statistically speaking, if the back lines up on the quarterback's right, the run is going to go left, right? Set hut, handoff, the back comes across the quarterback's face, and they run off tackle or outside to the left, right? Same thing on the other side. Hey, got back on the left. He's going to go to the right. So how do you run from gun where you want to be while taking away some of the extreme tendencies that tend to come with being in shotgun that'll make things a lot easier for defenses? Well, let's look at the first play of the game where Cliff Kingsbury has both backs in the backfield. You can't have 90% tendencies both ways. So now formationally, we've already taken away that tendency. That's good. The back to the quarterback's right is Brian Robinson. The back to the quarterback's left is Austin Ekeler. And if you think, hey, which of those backs is going to run a power play? Probably Brian Robinson. He's probably going to get the carry if those two are back there anyway, because he's Brian Robinson. He's their number one back. It's the first play of the game. They want to get him going. So what do? They run what looks like a power play to the left, the direction that you'd imagine Brian Robinson is going. And so they pull two offensive linemen from the right side of the line over to the left. And what happens? The linebackers and the entire Cincinnati defense flows to the left. And then they simply hand the ball to Ekeler to go the other way. There's no one there at the point of attack. No one. They don't have to block anybody basically at the line of scrimmage. I think Sam Cosmi maybe has to have like a mini seal, and he's Eckler's into the second level. It's like an 8-yard gain on the first play of the game. Brilliant. Later in the game, they use a counter play. So they and it's actually the first play of the second half. They use a counter play where Brian Robinson is lined up to the left. He takes the handoff and then veers back to the left as opposed to the 90% of the time when you go to the right. And to do those two, or to call those two plays, run them and execute them well on the first two plays of each half, I think just sends a message like, hey, you better be on your P's and Q's. You better not anticipate. You better not jump. And that's all you need to do with the tendency breaker. You just have to make sure that the defense isn't where you want them. And if you can slow down their process by a half a yard, that can be the difference in your guy landing your block and your guy not landing your block. And Cliff did a brilliant job of that. Also got some help from his players. Number six. The tight ends. I love the way they block. They look for work in the run game. On the Eckler touchdown run, Ben Sinnott blocks for like 30 yards on that play. He just runs a dude the entire length of the field. Bates also goes and finds the DB. Like, I think Sinnott might wind up on the guy that initially Bates is going to. That are just kind of is a funky path that John takes to the defensive back. But I can't tell you how often I'm watching run plays, or screens especially, where linemen or tight ends or receivers, they get out in front of the ball carrier and they just like run through the hole. And it's like, you ran past a dude that you should have hit. And if you had blocked him, then he wouldn't have made the tackle behind you. And it's cool that you're looking for the next guy, but we got to block the first guy first. And I love the way that those two tight ends, Sinnott and Bates especially, they see color, they hit color. Like, oh, I'm where the play is supposed to go. This person who's not wearing the same jersey as me is also here. He's going to try to make the tackle if I don't block him. So I'm going to block him. I know it sounds simple. I know that it's like, duh. But I promise you that does not happen with the regularity it does with those two dudes. And I have a high appreciation for that. And I'm actually very excited to talk about to Logan about that tomorrow, because I would guess a guy who made his living as a blocking tight end also has a high appreciation for it.
Number seven.
The no turnover stats are absolutely crazy. Jaden Daniels, I think he's the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to go three games without a turnover in his first three starts. The Commanders are the first team in forever to go two straight games with no punts, no turnovers. There's all kinds of stats that are just mind-blowing in terms of how rare Washington has been in these two games in terms of cleanliness. But do not forget that in this game, there was very nearly a really bad turnover. And you have to give salute to sports talk radio fiend Nick Allegretti, who saved the game and all those stats in that streak by recovering a Zach Ertz fumble in the fourth quarter, the play after Ertz jumped off sides. And I will also give credit to Ertz because he then made a couple of big catches on that drive. So Zach, head down, kept going. Good job. But shout out Nick Allegretti, a play that I think a lot of people forgot, that I forgot about, frankly, until I was watching the film back. And I was like, oh, yeah. Shouts out to Nick Allegretti for keeping that and the potential to win that game all intact, because that was like the second play of a drive, and it would have been Bengals ball in mega plus territory on a quick turnaround. And that is a disaster recipe for a defense.
Number eight.
Final drive. It's second and 20. Yikes. And they go back-to-back screens to De'Ami Brown. The second one was an audible by Jaden Daniels. And he just had, in that moment, such a perfect understanding that it was four-down territory and that getting a big chunk was enough, and that he saw, like, yeah, we've got the look here. And De'Ami deserves a ton of credit as well, because I think everyone wants to turn him into, like, this deep ball guy who's not doing the thing. I just don't think he's that guy. What he is really tough. And on these screens, he catches the ball and just becomes a human, like, bowling pin getting downhill. And he's really hard to tackle. And so I like using him as a screen catcher and runner, because he just gets positive yardage. And frankly, on that second one, the look was so good that if Sam Cosmi hits a block, he's trying to hit a DB in space. It's hard. This isn't a knock on Cosmi, who was awesome yesterday. But if Cosmi hits one block, that thing is out. That is a touchdown. But instead, Jaden winds up throwing the 3rd-and-7 touchdown where he gets hit in the face, and that becomes the hero play. But I think just as important is him getting into that 3rd-and-7 in the first place is smart play calling from Cliff, great execution on these screens. And for everyone who wants the screens to die, in many ways, those two screens saved the game last night.
Number nine.
Last two things real quick. One offense, one defense. This one's really game management. You play the game that's in front of you. I said this last week, and people were like, oh, Jaden Daniels, and or not Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, you know, should have made some different decisions on fourth down, or should have been more aggressive here, or different whatever there. Play calling wise, they seemed very conservative. They knew the Giants didn't have a kicker. I'm more convinced than ever. Mitch Tischler actually brought this up in terms of some of the specific decisions, and that he thought they were making them based off the game situation. And Mitch, of course, will join us again coming up at 5 o'clock. But I thought they made decisions last night based off what they knew they needed out of that game. They know they have a kicker who doesn't have fantastic range. His career numbers above 40 yards are not great. His career numbers below 40 yards are perfect. So let's not put him in situations to hit big 50-yard field goals if we can get in fourth and manageable. So let's call our third down plays to make sure we're in fourth and manageable when we're kind of in that go zone. And then they have the confidence and the execution ability with Jaden. Jaden obviously is all for it. You know, we all saw on TV him saying, let's go, let's go. That's big time. But I got to give also credit to Quinn for playing the game that's in front of him. He knew his defense only had so much in it in the tank, which is to say not a lot in the tank. And he played accordingly. So good job, Dan Quinn, on playing the game that's in front of you.
Number 10.
Last but not least, if you watch Johnny Newton for like five plays, you understand why they took him in the second round, even though they theoretically had a positional surplus. That dude plays his face off. And it was on display in such a ridiculous way last night. There's two plays in particular, two of his tackles in the game. One is in the first quarter, very end of the first quarter. There is a long-ish completion of T. Higgins, and Newton is rushing on the play. I thought he must have dropped out into coverage on like a zone blitz or something because he makes a tackle 14 yards down the field. No, he rushed. He didn't have a very good rush, but that happens. He got stymied on his rush, saw the ball get out, and started sprinting down the field after T. Higgins. And as T. Higgins is going horizontally, Newton catches up to him vertically, and he and Benjamin St. Juice make the tackle. There's another play at the start of the fourth quarter where it's an 11-yard rush or catch and run. Maybe it's a short catch and run by Chase Brown. And Newton makes a solo tackle, chasing a running back down from behind, 11 yards down the field. That is not normal. That is exactly who they want to be defensively. And again, I know that there is a long way to go from the execution. And I'm not trying to say that I'm not trying to tell you the defense played well last night. But there are dudes on that defense that play really hard. And the play style and all that stuff is starting to sink in. And again, it's got to be there for the scheme to have a chance. They're trying to figure out the scheme. And they tried a lot of stuff last night to see if they could get anything, and none of it particularly worked. But at least the players are playing hard, and that is should be a non-negotiable. But under Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, it is the fundamental identity of who they are. And if you look at the guys specifically who are playing hard, it's guys like Dante Fowler who have been with Dan Quinn forever. It's guys like Sane Ristil. It's guys like Johnny Newton. It is the guys who are at the core of this team who were brought in to be the identity of it and build that foundation. And so that is a positive. They have to get everybody on that page, and they have to start executing better. But damn, I could not get through this first and 10 without shouting out Johnny Newton for making those plays double-digit yards down the field after rushing the quarterback as a defensive tackle. Okay, that is our first and 10. Coming up next, you, 301-230-0980. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. Can only imagine what the vibe is. You tell me next here on The Hoffman Show.